By the way, I'm going to get off the subject here, but it's on. This wasn't planned, but I'd like to go into it with you. The question of giving advice. We are all experts at it, right? I have 38,000 PhDs in giving advice. But I'd like to tell you a few things that at least I have learned intellectually, even though I don't do them all the time, about advice giving. Most of you in this room are indeed professionals. And if you're like me, part of my very vocation is advice giving. But nonetheless, I'd like to give you a little bit of advice now, and I will break the rule by giving you the rule. Never give advice. Isn't that a beauty? Never give advice, comma, unless it is asked for. Never give advice unless it is asked for, and only then, reluctantly. Now I will tell you how I give advice when I can think long enough to do it this way. Remember what I was telling you about two people looking at the same thing? There's a magnificent story. Now, please, you're going to just have to bear with me in this. It's not irreverent. It is just so. Magnificent illustration of two people looking at exactly the same thing and seeing opposites. A marvelous story about an orchestra leader who stopped the music right in the middle of a waltz at a society wedding. And he whirled around, he was beat red, he was mad, he was hostile, he was angry, everything else, the veins were standing on. He said, "Who called my piccolo player son of a bitch?" And some old drunk in the middle of the dance floor said, "Who called that son of a bitch piccolo player?" All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that is mild compared to what you will hear in the arguments involved in alcoholic families. I have learned this from experience. Most people are not interested in advice because when you give them advice they don't want to hear, they don't follow it. They're not interested in advice. I'll tell you exactly what people are interested in, and that includes you and me. Backing. I want backing. And couples let themselves, they give themselves away. A husband and wife will approach a priest, and he looks at the priest and says, "We know what's right. Straighten her out. Straighten her out." And she says, "Father, tell him, da 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 da." Do you see what I'm after? This is so true in most of us. Most people do not want advice. And when they get it, most people who need advice in the first place very rarely are capable of carrying it out by desire. Many people will do 9/10 of what you tell them to do. The important part they leave out and it fails. And so they say, "You gave me the wrong advice." Very, very often people will come to almost complete strangers. Here is somebody who comes into a rehab center and the bloody dang counselor wants to make decisions that are going to affect a whole family. God, how we can do that, I'll never know. I'll never know. But we do. We sit there and play God just like that. Go, "Oh, here, a little for you, and a little for you, a little for you." I have learned through bitter experience to give advice in a very specific way. And here's the way I do it. Based on what you have told me. Based on what you have told me. Here is what I think I would do. And then I tell them. And usually that leaves approximately 10 people out of 10 up in the air. They don't want to hear it that way. You know why? The decision to carry it out is entirely now up to them. Based on what you have told me, see, you may have left out a few things. I don't mean deliberately or hiding them. I mean that looking at the situation through your eyes, you may not even have seen the situation as it is. But based on what you have told me, here indeed is what I think I would do. Case in point, ladies and gentlemen, 2 years ago, a woman called me on telephone. I wouldn't know her today if I fell on her. I've never met the woman in my life. She was a voice on the phone and presented me with a horrendous family problem. And she went on detail after detail after detail after detail. Anyway, after about 20, 22 minutes, she was finished. She said, "What should I do?" I said, "I don't know what you should do, but based on what you have told me, here's what I think I would do." And then I gave her the advice. She said, "Yeah, but what do you want me to do?" Now my point will become very obvious in about 2 seconds. She did that 8 times and hung up in anger because I would not make a major decision for her. I didn't know that woman. I didn't know any of her 4 children. But the advice that I gave would have affected all of them deeply. I gave the advice, but I gave it in a way that it was just that. It was advice. Now a decision, that's your business. Just give me the benefit of the doubt that I'm going to give you the best advice that I know. I have long since, my friends, learned to say, I don't know, if that's the answer. Beware the person who cannot and will not say, I don't know, and suspect the jerk that knows it all. God, if sometime in your experience you have never run into somebody who just says quite bluntly, gee whiz, I just don't know, well, let me ask. You know, if you don't hear that from somebody, usually once a week, something wrong with him. Well, anyway, that's out. I got a lot of stuff that I just, shoot out as the sparks, get ignited. But anyway, that's out of the way now. We'll go back to the confrontation. You confront the alcoholic with the fact of his illness and offer him an answer. I will help you. Now, before we go on to the answer, treatment, let's take a corollary of confronting the alcoholic. Guideline number 5. Make the alcoholic responsible for his behavior. Now, you remember when I said confront him? That is painful when he is told he has a drinking problem. Hey, by the way, don't ask him, tell him. And in every program that has an alcoholism policy, whether it be armed services or industry, you make sure that you have a knowledgeable network of people who have the results and the effects of his drinking documented. You don't ask him, you tell him and you document it all. You have a drinking problem. Now, if you're in the armed services or industry, you can always say, now here's what we are going to do about it. Yes, sir. All right. Make the alcoholic responsible for his behavior. The principle behind that is the simplest thing on the face of the earth. Quotes, every time you pick up the tab for the alcoholic, you have just bought him his next drunk. It doesn't make sense. And every one of us in this room has covered up for an alcoholic. Every one of us. And we think we're doing him a kindness. We just walk him 1 inch closer to the grave. You know, even AA says, we made a list of all persons we had harmed, became willing to make amends to them all, made direct amends. The alcoholic is asked now to begin to grow up and to begin to pay his way. The wife who writes a check making good a bad one that he wrote just gave him permission to write another one. That makes sense. But guess what the wife's attitude is? Well, the whole world will know he writes bad checks. He's an alcoholic. He has a drink. That's right. That's what we're after. That's what we're after. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not talking about moral guilt. I'm talking about legal responsibility. Legal responsibility. You know, in the AA program, and the beauty of AA is to read the steps out loud. We made a list of all persons we had harmed. It does not say we made a list of all persons we had consciously harmed, that we were aware of, that we culpably harmed. Doesn't say that at all. A man could cause damage in a blackout and not be morally responsible for it, but be charged with the damage. I always use a perfectly understandable little parallel. It's like a kid who goes out and hits a baseball that the wind carries through a neighbor's window. All right? He didn't intend to do that. So there's no moral guilt. But he feels a little bad about it, so he goes over and he rings the doorbell. He said, Miss Smith, I hit that ball, broke your window, I'm sorry. She said, oh, George, you're forgiven. That'll be $12.98. You pay for the glass. You pay for the glass. Make the alcoholic responsible for his behavior. It causes more pain than he is willing to face. Usually it may precipitate his getting well. Every time you pick up the tab for the alcoholic, you have just bought him his next drunk. And that is horribly, horribly unkind. It just shouldn't be done. This is known as tough love. I once knew a man, I don't know whether he's living or not, he's up around Pontiac, Michigan. He's in AA many years. He had a son in his 20s who was also an active alcoholic. And I remember I try to get back to Detroit about every year if I can. And I was at a meeting and met my friend. He said, well, it took me, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. He said, I finally made the decision. He said, I had to throw my own son out. He said, I just could not be a part of his destruction anymore. He said, I found out that even though it was kind to take his sick and battered body at the end of each drunk and try to get him well, even though that was, as I believe, true love, he said, I found that letting him know that this door was open just to get over drunks from and a place where he could continue in the illness that would kill him, he said, I finally had to decide to lock the door on him. Nearly killed that man. And ladies and gentlemen, to this day, I don't know whether that boy ever got well or not. I just don't know. But I know there was a lot of agony went into that decision. A lot of agony went into it. The love of parents for children is instinctive almost. I'm sure the psychologists have gone into that, whether it's this, that, or whether it's learned, or whatever the hell it is, it's there. And I know parents who love so much and so reasonably, and they still say, I just can't not do this. I know that it is wrong. I know. And here is where, my friends, each of us needs somebody else. Major decisions need advice. AA is so strong on sponsorship, so strong on it. And I'd like to make a little plea here to everybody. Every spiritual writer worth his salt speaks of the necessity of a spiritual director. And it's all based on this simple fundamental principle of humanity. No man is judge in his own case. No man is judge in his own case. If you don't have a sponsor, that is those of you who are in AA, if you don't have a sponsor, get one. And if you're not in AA, well, I really feel sorry for you. But in fact, I would suggest you all get a case and go into training, but I can't do that either. But everybody needs somebody whose judgment he can trust. Now, this is purely personal. It wasn't the 12 steps of AA written on a piece of paper to save my life. I could have read them in my room and died drunk. It was a man. It was a man who saved my life. You know how things get done? The inspiration of one human being on another. I can't change anyone but me, but hopefully I can inspire someone else to want to change himself. And that's the way human life works. One time Napoleon, at the height of his power, was reviewing his troops, and one of his lieutenants said, there isn't a man out there who wouldn't die for you. He said, yeah, but I wonder how many of them would live for me. And then he compared armies to religious organizations who have lived in imitation, you see, of Christ. Well, it's the same way here. A man by the name of Austin Ripley saved my life. From the first moment that I met him, I wanted everything he had. I wanted to be just like him. And I'd have died to please him. Ladies and gentlemen, I had it made. I had every confidence in that man's judgment. And it proved to be justified. If you don't have someone, get someone. Or you will be the island of misery and remain the island of misery that perhaps you are now. But remember, it takes tremendous sacrifice to do the things that are told me to do. And that is why in the AA community, new people are taught, get a sponsor who will tell you the things you need to hear instead of the things you want to hear. And so it is with life. This whole business of the confrontation of the alcoholic and making him pick up his own tab is something that people like me can philosophize about. But I don't know how in the world you really do it all right. I just don't know. There are a few general principles that we've talked about, But when it comes down to the doing of anything, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. But at least we should arm ourselves with a few principles to act by. That thing about giving advice, the thing about confronting the alcoholic. Very, very often, what is the right time to confront an alcoholic? I don't know. You may have to wait another year and a half for the right time. It isn't just walking up to an alcoholic every time he has a few drinks in him and you're angry at him and you clobber him in the head with this. Then the right time will come and go. Or if it comes and you use it, it'll mean nothing to him because we've wasted so many previous opportunities. I just don't know. I would simply, my only purpose today is just to share these guidelines with you. That's all. That's all. I do indeed believe that an alcoholic should be confronted with the fact of his illness. Let him know that other people know about his drinking. Many an alcoholic has gone to his grave honestly believing that no one knew because nobody said anything to him about it. Nobody said anything. I know a man who opened his eyes on his deathbed, looked at four AA buddies standing beside him. This is in City Hospital in Baltimore, Maryland. He said, I can handle this. Shut his eyes and died. That was the last thought in his head that he could honestly handle this. He believed it. And he died. Nobody had told him, really. Really. Anyway, making him pick up his own tab is an extremely difficult thing to do. Suppose you have a husband or a son, or a wife indeed, who calls from jail, I've just been picked up on such and such a charge. Do you go down immediately as instinct propels you to do, or do you let them rot there for a weekend to have a taste of what it's like so they may not want to do it again? I don't know. I don't know. I don't think you do either, really. But the principle is, every time you pick up his tab, you just prolonged his sickness. So these are tough things we're talking about, but anyway, we will take a break now, and hopefully a little bit of hope will come in the last session, which we talk about treatment.
This recording is copyright 19...